Welcome to What's Up in Jeju, where I visit places around the island and talk about what's happening with hashtag Daily K's host, Peter Bint.
So, I have previewed that we're going to look at something that's in the sky.
It is bird watching.
Bird watching. It is relatively big, actually, in the UK. Like, the people who do it, there are certain bird watching spots. Even in London, we have some wetlands and stuff like that. But if you don't do it, then maybe you're only looking at the birds that come to your garden. But to be honest, that's way more than I do here in Korea because I don't have a garden.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about how bird watching is in the UK. So thanks for answering that. And me too. Like, you know, I've been lucky enough to actually have a garden in the past two houses in Jeju. And not bird watching, but just nature is something that I've always appreciated growing up. And as our listeners have probably gathered, there's plenty of nature to be had in Jeju. But what I've noticed, however, is the incredible variety of birds that I've come across, whether it be hiking an Ole course or walking my dogs. So let me ask Peter, this is a question for you. And, you know, no wrong. Well, there is a wrong answer, but go ahead and give a guess. How many kinds of birds do you think could be found in South Korea? I don't like giving you number. I don't like giving you number questions because you'll say something like 10 billion, and then my answer always feels like underwhelming. You know.
All right. Well, taking that into consideration, I'm a host that wants to learn from my mistakes. I'm gonna say three types of birds.
Yay! Okay, it's higher than that.
Maximum.
Yes. Thank you, Peter. Thanks for that. There are actually over 500 kinds of birds that have been observed on the island. So we're not just talking residential birds. We're even talking birds that have just been noticed here. Fun fact: there have actually been flamingos observed in Korea as well. It was kind of a freak.
Not at the zoo.
Yeah, just kind of a freak thing, and people are trying to figure out why. But at some point, flamingos migrated here, and they were gone. But so that counts.
Oh, wow. I don't want to know what happened to them. If they were that far off course, I'm not predicting a good future for those flamingos. That's really interesting. I did know that there were many birds in Korea because of the wetlands we have, like in places like Suncheonman Bay, which apparently is a really prized wetland spot, globally speaking. But 500, that's amazing. So we've got some photos to show. You went bird watching, did you?
Yes, I did, but I actually had some help. So why don't we take a look at his work in our next photo?
Oh, yeah, this picture looks way too good. I'm sorry, no offense, Mark, for it to be yours.
Yeah, not taken with a smartphone. This photo is taken by DJ Lee. He's a resident amateur birder who's been observing and taking amazing photos for just 1 year, but he's incredibly knowledgeable and he's super into it.
Wow.
And when I saw his work online, I just had to reach out to him. What we're observing here, this is a white-eyed warbler. And, you know, for me, this photo here, the reason why I selected this photo to show is it is very quintessential Jeju to me. It's got the camellia and this white-eyed warbler. Despite the name, it is actually green. If you can see the picture online, it's green with a yellow belly, and it has this white marking around the eye. And it's here year-round that I've noticed. I've noticed it in the winter and in the summer, all four seasons. And I was so shocked when I first saw it because it's so incredibly green. It's so green. And for me, I was like, wow, this is different than the mainland.
So
this is a very tropical-looking bird here. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that up here in Seoul, or if I did, I just didn't register it in my memory. So you've gone to do some birding together with this photographer.
Yes, that's right. And we went to the Yongsu Reservoir, and it's all the way over to the west here on the western side. And it's a well-known destination for birders. Essentially, it's a marshy area, like the area you mentioned earlier. And our goal was to observe and catch some local birds. So in our first video, you'll see we'll find some early success. And we were a bit worried about the weather, but the things turned out great.
Birding. Is that what we call bird watching? Just birding as well?
Yes, you can call it birding. And if you are a bird watching enthusiast or a bird watcher, you can consider yourself a birder.
a birder. Mm-hmm. I like that. I want that on my resume. Do you need to bring your own binoculars when you go birding? I suppose it depends on who you're going with, right? It's not like there's facilities there that give you the binoculars. Or did you already have a set of your own?
No. So DJ was kind enough to lend us a pair of binoculars that he had. And also he had another camera that he lent us as well. We didn't take any photos during that time, but that'll be for part three. So really, many thanks to DJ Lee. But I will say, when it comes to birding, when it comes to observing these animals or any wildlife, I would probably suggest to bring a pair of binoculars or a decent camera. And the thing is, you know, if you get too close, like these animals, they're just behave differently, right? They're going to behave in a certain way that's unnatural because they might see you as a threat or something like that. But with these binoculars, these very powerful binoculars, which, you know, you can get a decent pair for a reasonable price online. You know, these are hundreds, if not thousands of meters away. They're aware of you, but they're just like, eh, you're so far away. So they act naturally. So what was really cool was I could see birds that I've seen every day, but I see them completely differently because they're just acting naturally. And, you know, you're right up next to them and you see these details that you haven't noticed before, that of everyday birds that you even see.
When you said in part one, Mark, you're going to catch some birds, you didn't literally mean with your hands, right?
So, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that. Why I wrote that in there is because, and I talked to DJ about this, is it could be really the closest thing to actual, like, Pokemon, the game, you know, like catching all these monsters. Because what you do is you find these creatures and you capture them on your camera. And then you can tally that, and that's checked off, right? You could have a book or a diary or a manual. And DJ has his highly organized manual, and he's already categorized hundreds of birds. And, you know, you could, and the incredible thing is like you could just have just a poor day of birding. Like you just don't really see anything. And then out of the blue, something amazing shows up, and that completely changes the experience. And it could happen for like 1 second. You know what I mean? And this ultra rare thing shows up or whatever. So yeah, that's what it felt like for me. It almost felt like a video game. I was super into it.
This is the original Pokemon, isn't it? Gotta catch 'em all.
Yeah.
Well, it's well into January right now, Mark. I'm wondering, is this a good time to go bird watching? Because weather-wise, you know, winter, we feel like unless it's winter sports, it's not the best time to do outdoor stuff.
I mean, that's a really good question. And that is really one of the incredibly unique aspects of Jeju, is that just about any season is a great time to come bird watching. It's actually considered a birdwatching paradise year-round. It really depends on what you're looking for. And why don't we show some more of DJ Lee's incredible photos as I explain?
Fabulous. So Jeju's a great place for birds. You know, we're talking about the Sun Chunman Bay. That's on the southern tip of the peninsula.
Right.
So I'm assuming, like, maybe weather-wise, more similar to Jeju.
Well, that would make sense. So we have to consider Jeju's climate and latitude, like where it's situated on the planet, because where it is on Earth is kind of like this Goldilocks landmark when it comes to migratory birds and observing them. Now, when we think of migration, we were taught in school, okay, so the birds, they leave our town to go somewhere warmer in the winter, and then they return in spring, right? And that completely happens. But then consider this. Jeju is, in fact, a warm spot for northern birds from northern China, Mongolia, and Russia.
Oh, it's like the holiday area that they come for a warm winter break. And then other birds are leaving Jeju to go even somewhere warmer.
And I've seen it for myself, just being here on a couple of years on the island. In the winter, it's quite funny. In winter, you've got these big, dark, tough, like grizzled birds, like coming down from the north, you know what I mean? To enjoy the hot sun in a Jeju winter at 5 degrees Celsius. We're talking like vultures, like just these, you know, really tough migratory birds. But then when things heat up, they head back up north. And then in the summer, we get these really tropical looking, colorful, beautiful birds that come up from the south. So it's pretty cool.
Wow. in has climate change affected the migration patterns for the birds in any way? I don't expect you to have become an expert after just one bird watching day here, Mark, but I'm guessing that's a bit of a no-brainer.
Well, thankfully, I was with an expert who was DJ Lee, and he said that absolutely that has been something that birders, local birders, have observed, that these birds, these more tropical, warmer climate birds, have been coming to the island that were only recently observed, and they're finding there's an increased number of such birds that are coming to the island. Does it directly relate to global warming? I don't know, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, it does seem maybe indisputable that things are at least changing for reasons, .. So in part three, you've been let loose with your own pair of binoculars and you went to a different part of town.
Pair of binoculars and camera. And this was his, this was DJ's kind of just travel camera, which is still a monster. So, you can tell he really enjoys the hobby. I went back to Sangi-gijang. Now, if you remember, Peter, this was the wind section in my Samda tour on my very first episode of What's Up in Jeju. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. That was like my favorite part of that episode.
Yeah. So we went online and we were just checking out maybe some of the western part of the islands. And it's not as known, except for that reservoir we were at, which is on the west.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to observe birds from what we found. But we did find that bloggers have said that the Sangi-gijang is the place to go to. So, yeah, that's where we headed.
Is this your photo here
now? So the first photo here, I believe, is a male shoveler. Now, if you remember in the first video, we saw a female shoveler. That is...
Yes.
Yeah. So on the surface, it kind of looks like a mallard duck. But once you get closer, it's the male. So it does have the green head like a mallard. But and you wouldn't really notice this unless you have binoculars or a nice camera, is that if you notice, it has an obnoxiously large beak. It's like if you asked a seven-year-old to draw a duck, this would be probably what they draw, the proportions, because the beak is so comically large. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Its beady little eye is really freaking me out. So let's change the photo
okay.
now. Is this what you took a photo of on the ground?
Yes, yes. So, man, that was so hard because it was just darting around from little tree branch to tree branch. It was really at the level no higher than my knees. And I thought it was a green white-eyed warbler, what we saw earlier. And I didn't notice until I took the photo and looked at the picture itself. I'm like, okay, that's not a warbling white eye. But I did find out that it is a kind of warbler. It is the Korean bush warbler. And I just kind of came to that deduction this morning in the studio. But you know what's really awesome about this Korean bush warbler is that bird is featured on Ko-Stop. You know, the card game, the Hwattu?
That's on one of the cards.
There's one of the cards. It's of plum blossoms and then the Korean bush warbler.
Yeah.
So that is like, that's amazing, you know, that I got to capture
famous.
This super Korean bird.
Wow. And then picture number three.
That's a gull.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, that's a nice seagull. Again, it was really great practice because it's been a while since I've done any DSLR photography, so just getting my aperture and opacity, you know, just getting all the focus and lens correction. So, you know, they were great models.
Wow.
Great models. So I'm not gonna trash
them. Seagulls.
Yeah.
Mark, that was fabulous. You know, birds, as you say, we see them in our daily lives, but actually concentrating on them, that is a different matter completely. We'll look forward to what you bring us next week as well, Mark. Thank you very much.
What's Up in Jeju is supported by the JDC, which is creating a free international city that resembles nature, embraces the future, and reaches the world. I'm Mark Wilson Che, with writer Che Jung-yun. This is Arirang Radio.